Amen. We're in December now, and just to focus upon the purpose of this season, we're going to take a break from the Romans series. And so I invite you this morning to turn to the first epistle of John, chapter 4. If you'd stand for the reading of God's word, and again, I just want to put a focus on this season. We're going to read just one text, but you could keep your Bibles open. I may refer to other verses in this chapter. But 1 John chapter 4, verse 14. And it reads, "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." I want to focus on the latter part of that. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior. I want to preach this morning on the Father sent the Son. You know, at first glance, that is a simple statement. But that simple statement says volumes to us about our salvation. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Holy Spirit, take the things of Christ and show them to us. Be glorified in our midst by the moving of the Holy Spirit, making Jesus real all over again to our hearts. And if there's one that has not made Christ Lord and Savior of their life, may that happen through the moving of your Spirit today. Challenge our hearts afresh. Help us to rejoice in this season for all that you've done, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I don't know if you ever have those flashes of daydreams, just things out of the blue that come to you vividly. I had one the other day of being under the car, or someone being in the car and having it jacked up with a hydraulic jack and forgetting to put a jack stand under it, and the O-ring blows in the hydraulic jack, and with no jack stand, Brother Steve, that car just falls on someone. That'd be a tragic thing, wouldn't it? But I want you to imagine, maybe if you're a gentleman, maybe not, but I want you to imagine that that's you. The jack collapses and the car falls on your chest. I mean, what would you prefer right then? Would you prefer that your spouse make a call to the mechanic and have the mechanic come over and lecture you on the weight of the car, lecture you on what the hydraulic jack is supposed to do when properly used, lecture you on you should have used a jack stand? Would you like that? Or maybe with the car pressing upon your chest, you would like for your spouse to call a lawyer. And in fact, your spouse didn't call. They just sent one. The jack company sent a lawyer out to your house and began to tell you that it's all your fault. You didn't follow directions. It was in the instructions that you were to use a jack stand. And with the car pressing upon your chest, upon your body, the lawyer from the jack company lectures you how they are not liable. The fault is entirely yours. Or maybe not that. Maybe your insurance agent shows up, either medical or your auto insurance agent, and begins to inform you of how much your policy is going to cover and how much your policy isn't going to cover and how high the deductible is going to be for this incident. How would you like that? Or maybe it was a representative from the Auto Safety Society. And as you're under there, you'll have a good view. So they just pull up another car with another jack and a jack stand. And as you look from under the car that you're under, they're illustrating to you step by step the procedure to follow so you won't get in that predicament the next time. How would you like those things? I'm telling you, if the car has fallen on you, there's only one thing you want. You want someone that can set you free, deliver you, save you from your predicament. You're one of the firemen with the winches and the jacks and the manpower and the oxygen to get that thing off of you, and the emergency personnel to put you in a vehicle and get you to a hospital. You're not interested in a lecture. You're not interested in any of those other things. You're only interested in a Savior. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, man is in such a predicament of their not their body, but the predicament of their soul. And being in that situation, man does not need a philosopher. He doesn't need a teacher. He doesn't need just an example or a prophet to come. Man in his predicament, he needs a Savior. And I'm here to preach, a Savior has come. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. We're entering this Christmas season, and I want to refocus on the true meaning of Christmas. And it's trite to say that Jesus is the reason for the season. I want to just share a little bit why we say that Jesus is the reason for the season. Before there were people and animals, birds and insects, before there were cars and skyscrapers and boats and houses, before there were rocks and grass and trees and rivers and seas and mountains and clouds and wind, before there was a moon, a sun, a planet, a star, before there was light or matter or atoms, before there was heaven or hell, before there were angels, cherubs and seraphims, before there were any of that, there was God, and God was Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Back in time 50 years, back in time 100 years, back in time 1,000 years, back in time 10,000 years, back in time before the beginning of time, back into everlasting of everlasting, there was a God, and God was Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. There was God. He created the universe, the atom from which it was made. He created the galaxies and the constellations. He created our sun, the moon, the planets, earth, atmosphere, land, and sea. God created planets and animals, and God created man. And Creator God was Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But man disobeyed, and man rebelled, and man polluted by sin himself and all of God's creation. Amen. But in that instance, Creator God did not annihilate man. Creator God did not destroy man. Creator God did not rid this earth of man. Instead, he devised a plan to rescue, to save, and to deliver man from his sin. And so the Creator God became the Redeemer God, and the Redeemer God was Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world, and the Spirit is here this morning to make it real to us all over again that we have a Savior. Hallelujah. Blessed be His name. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. The Father sent the Son from heaven to earth. The Father sent the Son from eternity into time. The Father sent the Son from the throne to a manger. The Father sent the Son from the realm of perfection to the realm of suffering and pain and disease and demons and crime and hatred and bitterness and pain. The Father sent the Son from glory to poverty. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Aren't you glad He sent Him? Hallelujah. The Son was sent by the Father, but He entered this world through the door of infancy, a human infant. The Father, listen, you know, I used to give a test in one of my theology classes at Bible school, and it was like this. I did it different ways, but in a true and false form, I said, true or false, Jesus became the Son when He was conceived in the Virgin Mary. I was amazed. Most folks got that wrong. They would say, true, Jesus became the Son when He was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary. I'm here to say that's false. Jesus has always been the Son. Hallelujah. It's always been Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Father sent the Son. The Father didn't send Jesus to become a Son. He sent the Son to become the Savior. Hallelujah. Even Jesus didn't become a human baby so He could be a Son. He became a human baby so He could be a Savior that bled and died for our sins. Hallelujah. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And that says volumes to us. First of all, it tells us that the world needs saving. Not just 2,000 years ago, but right now, today, the world needs saving. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Hallelujah. He sent the Son, not in judgment, but in salvation. The Father didn't send the Son to be a psychologist, to lead you into discovering the better you and to bring you to your full potential. The Father didn't send the Son to be a wizard, to grant all your material and financial wishes and make you rich. The Father didn't send the Son to be a better drug that would give you a better high than those that existed. The Father didn't send the Son simply to be a moral example, to be emulated. The Father didn't send the Son just to be another teacher whose teachings would be studied. But the Father sent the Son to be the Savior, and He sent Him as Savior because man needed saving. Oh, I want to remind us, we may be saved this morning, but the Father sent the Son because every one of us, we needed saving. We needed rescued. We needed delivered. And that's exactly what the word Savior means. We say it so often, it loses some of the impact. But when you say Savior, you're saying rescuer. When you say Savior, you're saying deliverer. When you say Savior, you're saying liberator. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad the Father sent the Son to be the Savior? Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. We needed saved. Saved in this life. Saved from self. We're at odds with ourselves. We are self-confused and left to ourselves. We do self-destructive things and practice self-destructive behavior. We needed saved in this life from society. People get caught up in the fashions, the fads, the trends, the peer pressure of society to the point they destroy themselves, their relationships, and their families. We needed saved in this life from sin. Man is infected. My problem isn't that I don't have a high enough self-image. My problem was that I had sin. Man has been infected incurably with the disease of sin that destroys mind and emotion, emotions and body and relationship. It'll sin destroys not only the individual, but everybody and everything around. We needed a Savior in this life to be saved from sin. We needed a Savior in this life to be saved from Satan, the enemy of God and every human being. We need to be reminded that Satan is the thief that cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. We need a Savior to give us life and life more abundant. Make no mistake, there are folks that come to church that Satan is destroying their life and every part of it. That's why you need a Savior. Hallelujah. Amen. He'll save you from the clutches of Satan. God sent a Savior not just because we need it saved in this life. He sent a Savior because we need to be saved from what's to come. What is to come? The judgment is to come. Amen. That's not a popular preaching or teaching topic, but the Bible is replete with the message. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after that the judgment. And without Christ, everyone would stand in the judgment of God condemned. Oh, but we don't have to stand in the judgment one day condemned, because the Father sent the Son to be a Savior. And when we stand in the judgment, we can stand justified and blood washed and forgiven. Hallelujah. Amen. We needed to be saved from what was to come, a place called hell. Jesus came as the Savior to save us from a place called hell. Aren't you glad the Father sent the Son to be the Savior? He sent Him because we needed to be saved. He sent Him because, man, we cannot save ourselves. Amen. Man didn't have the wherewith anywhere in this world to save himself. The history of the Bible has been a history of however bad or bad off people are, God has always sent a Savior. Hallelujah. Just a quick example. The children of Israel were bad off in the bondage of Egypt. Beaten, their children killed, slaves to hard taskmasters. But God sent the deliverer, Moses. Hallelujah. You can read the whole book of Judges. Of their own fault, the people were in awful bondage. By their own rebellion and sin, they were bound. Oh, but they would cry out to God and say, God, we've made a mess of things. We never should have rebelled and disobeyed. And our misery is great. Oh God, would you not help us? And over again, in spite of their wickedness, in spite of their disobedience, when the people cried out, God sent a Savior. Oh, the whole earth groaned and travailed in a hopeless lostness, unable to save themselves. But God heard from heaven, and God sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. I want to tell you something. God's still in the business of sending. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. He sent the Son to be the Savior, not just of the world in general, but He sent the Son to be the Savior in particular. In other words, He sent God the Son to be my Savior and your Savior. Secondly, the Father sent the Son that tells us the Father is caring and compassionate. How will you just focus on the part the Father sent? You know what that means? It means He took the initiative. God took the initiative. God designed the plan. God offered His Son. Men, they didn't realize it. Yes, in one way they were seeking Him, but actively they were not seeking a Savior. Actively they were not asking God. Consciously they were not asking God for a Savior. But the Father took the initiative. And man did not go and get the Savior. Man did not go and acquire a Savior. here. But the Father took the initiative and sent the Son. How will you believe this morning? It's always God that takes the initiative. If any person seeks God, it's because God first sought them. Hallelujah. If any person ever reaches out to God, it's because God first reached out to them. Oh, hallelujah. From the very beginning, when man sinned, man didn't go looking for God. Man went and hid, but God came looking for man. Adam, Adam, where art thou? He took the initiative. If you think of your own individual salvation, God took the initiative. He came looking for you. He sent to you the Savior. Hallelujah. Amen. He willingly, the Father willingly sent the Son. The Father was under no mandate. The Father was under no obligation. The Father didn't have to be convinced or coerced or persuaded to send the Son. The Father could have, should have annihilated all of mankind with fiery judgment. God could have and should have left mankind to his own consequences of his choices and sins. God could have, he should have left humanity to suffer and to have the pain of this life. God could have and should have left us to hopelessness and purposelessness and darkness. God could have, he should have left us to self-destruction, left us to the judgment of hell. He could have, he should have. Oh, but he didn't. The Father sent the Son. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? It proves to us he's a God of compassion and mercy and of love. He didn't have to. He truly shouldn't have. But he did. Hallelujah. Why? He loved us. Moved with loving kindness, tender mercies, compassion. God sent a Son. A few verses earlier in this chapter, verse 8, it says, "For God is love." Verse 9, "And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." Verse 10, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Amen. Brother May, that the Father sent the Son, that just says to us, he's a God of love and compassion and mercy. Hallelujah. How many knows God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Father didn't just forget man's predicament. The Father didn't divert his attention from man's plight. The Father didn't say they can find their own way, work things out on their own. He sent the Son. And I want to tell you this morning, God is still in the business of sending. He sent the Son, but now he sends his Holy Spirit to deal with the one that is lost, to introduce them to the Son. He's sending his Spirit this morning. He sent the Son years ago, but he's still sending a brother or sister that knows the Lord to invite a person to church, invite them to pray, share the gospel. The Father's still sending. He sends a preacher to preach on December the 5th on a Sunday morning and remind you, if you're lost here this morning, that the Father sent the Son to be your Savior. Aren't you glad the Father's still sending? Next of all, this tells us that the Son is willing. The Son is willing. Nowhere do we read that the Father had to convince the Son or coerce the Son to come. Jesus knew he was coming to suffer at the hands of ungrateful mankind. Jesus knew he was coming to be betrayed and forsaken by his own family and friends. Jesus knew he was coming to be misunderstood, mistreated, and maligned. He knew he was coming to be crucified at the hands of unclean men. Oh, but he didn't fight it. He didn't resist it. He willingly allowed the Father to send him to be the Savior. Nowhere does it read that the Father forced the Son to be the Savior of the world, bribed him to be the Savior, talked him in to being the Savior. The Father sent, and the Son willingly came. I find myself praying so often, oh Jesus, you came willingly and readily to be made a sacrifice for our sins. You who knew no sin, you willingly became the sacrifice for my sins. You came without reservation. You came without coercion to be my Savior. I want you to hear this morning, salvation is never a matter of Jesus willing to be the Savior. Salvation is simply a matter of whether or not an individual is willing to allow Jesus to be their Savior. If you're here this morning, you don't know the Lord, there's no question. Jesus is willing to be the Savior. The only question is, are you willing to allow him to be your Savior? Amen. Last of all, this teaches us that there's no other way. If there was another way, it would not have read, the Father sent the Son. It would have read, the Father did something else. But there's no other way. The Father sent the Son. I cringe today, and it's not an exception anymore. I cringe today when I hear supposed preachers of the gospel. They capture them in media and interviews saying that there's other ways for people to be saved other than through Christ. You know, I kind of expect that from a pluralistic world or from a liberal, synchronistic church. Amen. That wouldn't surprise me so much. They don't believe in the inspired Word of God anyway. Amen. But it just causes me to cringe that those that are supposed to be preachers of the gospel would tell a national audience that there's other ways other than Christ to be saved. You know, I thought about that many times. If there's another way, how come the Father didn't know about it? If there was another way for man to be saved, why didn't the Father know about it? Amen. He would have done such and such rather than sending his own Son to be saved. The Father didn't send another prophet because a prophet can't save, even a prophet with a new word. The Father didn't send another teacher with a new philosophy because another philosophy couldn't save. The Father didn't send a chemist with a new drug because a drug couldn't save. The Father didn't send a guru with a new path. Amen. Because just a new path can't save. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior because there was no other way for man to be saved except through the sacrificial death and subsequent resurrection of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. If there were, I've thought of this often, and that's why one of the reasons I cringe when people say there's many ways to God. If there were, all of a sudden, my God isn't a God of love and tender mercies and kindness. If there's any other way to be saved, and yet he sent his Son anyway, God's no longer a God of love and mercy. He's a God of unimaginable cruelty, knowing that there was another way for man to be saved, and yet sending his Son to die horribly and cruelly on the cross. Even if you've been around church anytime, you've heard me and other preachers talk about that story that happened years ago where the man worked at a drawbridge, and one day he took his little son to work with him, and they ate lunch, and after lunch the little boy wandered off to explore, and the drawbridge was up, and the father got the signal that the passenger train was coming. The bridge has to be lowered. He begins to lower the bridge. And as he looks down, he sees that his son has found his way into the gears of that drawbridge. And the father realizes as if that drawbridge is lowered, the gears will crush his son. But he looks up and the passenger train is barreling ahead, headed for the drawbridge. And so with unimaginable pain of his heart, that father continued to hold the lever that allowed the drawbridge to come down, knowing he could release it in his son. son would be saved. But he held the lever engaged and allowed the drawbridge to come down, knowing it would crush his only son. Amen. He said, later the father said, when that passenger train passed him on the bridge and he looked through the windows and saw people sitting there and laughing, playing cards and eating lunch, never known that he had sacrificed his son for their life. You know, I've heard that story. You have too. It still touches me, the sacrifice of that father. And you say, oh, what a father. What a father. Sacrifice his own son. What a pitiful thing to save others. But wait a minute. What if I inserted into the story that there was a button that the father could have pushed and it would have sent a signal to slow that train and stop that train before it got on the bridge. And the father didn't have to crush his son. He could have raised the bridge back up and saved him, pushing the button. All of a sudden, if that father lowers that bridge and crushes his son, he's not some kind of great hero and such a one. He's a cruel man. He could have chosen to push the button and stop the train and save his son, but he went ahead and crushed his son. He's no hero. He's unimaginably cruel. I'm telling you to tell us that the father sent the son to save the world, and there was no other way. And Jesus died, and the father sent him knowing he was going to. That's a glorious thing. That's a wonderful thing. But the moment you insert that there's other ways to be saved, all of a sudden, not God's not great and loving. He's unimaginably cruel to allow his son to be killed if there was another way. But I'm telling you, there was no other way. Jesus knew it. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Can you say amen? If so, if there's another way, God didn't know it. If there's another way, all other people could be saved by that. But I'm here to preach there's no other way. And this is the story of Christmas. The Father sent the Son, not to just to be a cute little infant in a manger, not just to give us a story that we marvel about, visits of shepherds and wise men, not so we can just ponder the unfathomableness of God becoming a little human infant, but the Father sent the Son to be the Savior. Let me just put it plain. The Father sent the Son to die on a cross for our sins. Oh, what a gift. Oh, it was gift wrapped in humanity of a baby in swaddling clothes. But the gift wasn't a baby. The gift was a Savior. Oh, hallelujah. The angels knew. The shepherds got it. Would you come, music? I want to challenge us that whenever we see a nativity this season, simply think of that one phrase. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Would you do that with me this Christmas season? Of course, nowadays you're going to have to search long and hard to find a nativity. But when you see a nativity this Christmas season, would you think with me all over again, the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Back in the 1930s, missionary made a visit to India. There in the Hindu university, there was one of the professors, and it surprised both the Hindus and the Christians, because at a meeting of the university, this professor stood up and said, I've just accepted Christ. He was a Hindu. He said, I just accepted Christ as my Savior. The missionary that was moderating the meeting said, would you mind to come up here and tell us what you found in Christianity that caused you to accept Christ? The man got up, the professor, hall was filled with Hindus, and he said to the missionary, he said, if you think I'm going to get up here and just bash the ancient religion of my father, Hindu, of my father's Hinduism, he said, you're wrong. He said, there's good teaching in that, there's moral teaching in that. But he said, the reason I became a Christian is because I looked at my religion, Hinduism, and there was no Savior, and my heart was crying out for a Savior. But he said, when I heard about Christianity, he said, in that there was a Savior, and I knew I needed him. Aren't you glad the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world? We're having communion this morning, and I pray the Holy Spirit will make this real all over to our hearts again in communion. But if you're here and you don't know the Lord, I just want to encourage you, as we finish this communion, you make your way to this altar, and folks will stay right here with you to pray and introduce you into to the Savior that the Father sent, the Son the Father sent to be your Savior. Amen. As the servers come, if you're glad the Father sent the Son to be your Savior, would you lift your hands and worship Him across the building? Amen. Would you just worship Him? Thank Him. Oh, He sent Him to be your Savior. Oh, come on. Thank the Father. Say, thank you, Father, that you sent the Son to be my Savior. Thank you, Jesus, that you are willing to come and to be my Savior. Hallelujah.